There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Yeah, ain't just me. I'm just sitting here. Mark Archer and Chris McCarty are doing all the hard yards. Paul Espy also alongside us. Big thanks to the international triathlete, Omar Noor. He's just left us. He was with us for the second hour of the show. Let's just put you in the picture of what's happening in the world of football first. Let's start in the Premier League. Chris, Man City still holding on to that lead.
They are indeed, yes. 75 minutes on the clock at Turf Moor. It remains Burnley 0, Manchester City 1. That fantastic goal midway through the first half from Danilo, the Brazilian fullback, in at left back today. Wonderful goal that. It's a short corner from Kevin De Bruyne into the feet of Bernardo Silva. He then shifted it on into Danilo. He opened up his body and then just bent the ball into the far corner past the despairing dive of Nick Pope in the Burnley goal. Burnley have been better in this second half. Manchester City, though, still ahead as they look to stretch their lead at the top of the Premier League, at least for the next few hours, to 18 points.
We had an early kickoff down in Spain a little earlier on. It was a bit of a goal fest. We tried to monitor those goals as they were going in. Majority flying in that first half. It did finish with the home team taking all the plaudits. They finished that one 5-1 to the good. Real Betis take on Villarreal a little later on. But let's go to Scotland, because
there's a shock potentially on the cards. 15 minutes remaining at Rugby Park. Celtic, let us not forget, since Brendan Rodgers took charge of that football club at the start of last season, they have lost just one domestic game. That was to Hearts a few short weeks ago. And what a shock could be on the cards here. 15 minutes remaining. It is Kilmarnock 1, Celtic 0. It is the former West Brom midfielder Youssef Moulumbu on the score sheet for Kilmarnock. Now managed, by Steve Clarke, the former West Brom boss, a man that served Jose Mourinho as well at Chelsea Football Club, Steve Clarke. And, he's the man with the Midas touch. 15 minutes remaining. Kilmarnock 1, Celtic 0. That would be... That was front page news in Scotland, Tom, that is.
Is that going to prompt an afternoon and an evening here in the UAE of shocks and surprises? Well, one of our feature matches has seen one of those in this fixture in recent times. It's Manchester United against Huddersfield. That's going to be our feature game at 7 o'clock local time here in the UAE. Chris McCarty, as regular listeners to the show will know, is a Man U fan. Surely Huddersfield can't beat Man U at Old Trafford.
They did it earlier on in the season. Not at Old Trafford, but they did win the reverse fixture a little earlier this season. The man that will be calling the action for Dubai 103.8 is your resident commentator, a man that we hear very often on this show. It is Adam Bridge. A very good afternoon to you, Adam.
Of course it can happen. A very good afternoon to you too. It's the theatre of dreams after all. Anything can happen in the theatre of dreams.
You are so right, Adam. Listen, I'm going to let you do the honours on this, because I think one of the biggest talking points, certainly over the next few hours and probably into the next couple of days, is with the team news today. I'm pretty shocked at this. There's a name that looms large on the substitutes bench for Manchester United. Break us that news, if you will.
There are four changes today. This is how Mourinho responds to conceding and losing a game by two goals or more for, I think, only the second time in about 87 matches. And that is to drop Paul Pogba. So Paul Pogba is on the bench today. Scott McTominay comes in and starts in his place alongside Matic in the heart of that Manchester United midfield. What does it say about Pogba's performance? Well, of course, he got hooked against Spurs on Wednesday night, so probably no great surprise. It looks like part of the fault that Mourinho is laying down is at the feet of Pogba. He appears to also have left out Jones out of the 18 today. Ashley Young's absent too. Luke Shaw comes in for him. Marcus Rocco will partner Chris Smalling at the back. And then the other change is that Anthony Martial, of course, who'd scored three goals in his three previous Premier League appearances before that game against Spurs, he's absent today. And Juan Mata, who signed a new contract this week, comes in for him as well. It means there's a very strong bench for Manchester United today, but he's dropped his linchpin, the star of his team, who incidentally hasn't actually scored a goal or assisted since November, I hasten to add, Paul Pogba. He is on the bench for Manchester United today.
Yeah, that is big, big team news. It went viral, his little coming together with Paul Pogba on the sidelines at Wembley in midweek. Adam, I mean, let's get your opinion on that decision. Paul Pogba, there's a lot been said, a lot been written about whether playing in the midfield two that he's been doing fits in with his style, if he maybe be better placed playing further up the field with a lot less defensive responsibilities on his shoulder. I mean, how are you reading this situation?
I think you're absolutely spot on, Chris. That's exactly what he should be doing. He should be playing probably in a three, with you know, maybe Matic and potentially Herrera or someone else maybe alongside to relieve some of that defensive responsibility. Pogba has been at his very best for Manchester United when he gets forward and he gets into those menacing positions and he causes carnage in the opposition half. He's not the best at stopping carnage in his own half. That's the role for Matic. That's probably the role for somebody else, to allow Pogba to just have that slightly freer role. And I think it's coming home to roost. When you look at some of the analysis that was done on Wednesday night, you very much saw that they were getting overrun in that midfield area. When you're relying on people like Sanchez and Martial to probably track back and try and tuck in to create that four when you're in a defensive mode, I think you're in trouble, because we know that Sanchez won't do too much of that. Martial is sometimes keen, but not that often. So you do leave those two very, very exposed. And it's not where Pogba wants to play. He's a classy footballer. He doesn't want to be doing the box-to-box hard work. He wants to be creating problems in the opposition half. And I think until Mourinho, and let's have a look, he's got till the rest of the season to sort this out, I'm not sure 4-2-3-1 with the personnel that he's got is the best way for Manchester United to play. It's Mourinho's way to play, but I'm not sure with what he's got at the moment it's getting the very best out of Paul Pogba.
Adam, you just have to excuse a question from me. Chris has stood up and is belting out Flower of Scotland in the, as Scotland line up to take on Wales.
I thought he was doing that because Burnley have just equalised. You're about to find out.
Well, he's in between two screens. It's a difficult time for Chris. But I just want to ask you quickly about Huddersfield and David Wagner. Look, they've had some amazing results this season, but they're going to have a bit of a confidence issue at the moment. They've had seven league games without a win. Surely it's another tough afternoon for them at Old Trafford.
Well, I went to the John Smiths for their game when they met first time this season and was absolutely convinced there was no chance. United were unbeaten, and I thought there was no chance that Huddersfield would get a result. They did. I think it's a different kettle of fish now. 7 points from their first three Premier League games, of course, but no win in the last seven, which is not great. They're conceding goals left, right and centre, an average of three. Away from home, they've been particularly poor. They haven't invested heavily in the transfer market. They've put a lot of faith in David Wagner, but slowly but surely they've seen themselves sliding down that table. It's like a game of snakes and ladders. They climbed very early, but since then it's been snakes all the way down. They're hovering just above that relegation zone, and something has got to change fundamentally within that club. They've got some huge games coming up. Today is not a huge game. Today's a free hit. But you just never know whether you're going to catch Manchester United on a bad day or not. So I think he's playing with three at the back today. It's just a little shuffle. So he's actually kind of almost going for it up top with Van La Parra and Quena supporting De Potra. So he's clearly going to come and have a go, but he's given himself a solid base to do it from. I fear for them. I feared for them at the start of the season. And as the season has worn on, after such a dream start, I think there was a bit of complacency.
As you rightly pointed out, Adam, Burnley have equalised at Turf Moor. It's the Icelandic winger, Johan Berg Gudmundsson, with a fine finish at the back post. It would be remiss of us, before we let you go, Adam, not to get your thoughts on transfer deadline day. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang is an Arsenal player, and I dared to suggest on my show a little earlier this week that, OK, they lost Alexis Sanchez, but if you've got a fit and firing Henrik Mkhitaryan, you've got Mesut Ozil, who's now signed on for the next 3.5 years, and if Aubameyang hits the ground running, as he's done in the Bundesliga, Arsenal going forward anyway, surely a match for anyone in the Premier League.
Well, you summed it up there, didn't you? Going forward, they're absolutely fine. But then when you look, and I did see an interesting feature with Nigel Winterburn on Sky the other morning, where he was picking how his Arsenal side would look going forward. I mean, and one of the things he talked about is Wilshere playing as one of the two holding midfielders alongside El Nene. But then he still lined up Bellerin, Koscielny, Mustafi and Monreal across the back. And you just sit there and go, well, look, let's not even bother with the front four, because all the time you've got that tripe at the back, there is absolutely no chance you were going to win anything. Once more, they've not addressed the problems that they needed to deal with. They should have laid their money down on the 1st of January, bought Johnny Evans, who is a much more competent and solid centre-half. Forget that performance against Liverpool in the first 20 minutes last week. He is a competent, strong centre-half who is better than either of what they've got. I mean, this insistence on sticking with Koscielny, who still makes plenty of mistakes, purely because he's the best of a bad bunch. And surely that is no way that you are ever going to win a title. It's once more yet another example of why Wenger needs to be out of that football club, because he won't address what the real issues are.
Absolutely. I'm not going to disagree with that, Adam. Defensively, Arsenal are all over the shop. And going forward, though, I tell you what they are, Adam. They're incredibly entertaining to watch. That's what it is. They'll score. They'll probably concede one or two as well. Listen, before we let you go, want to get back to the featured match this afternoon. It is Manchester United against Huddersfield. You've said you fear for Huddersfield this afternoon. Give us a score prediction. And given the fact that he's my fantasy captain, is Alexis Sanchez going to get a goal?
Your fantasy captain. Now, that's very brave. That's very brave. Just one more thing on the Arsenal thing. Look at Arsenal and Liverpool. They're almost identical. Same problems, and they'll continue to win nothing on that basis. I think United will win this afternoon. I think they've just got too much for Huddersfield, who are stuck in a rut. The question will be today whether the boys prove it right that actually he's good to drop Pogba out the side or not. We shall see. Lukaku will probably score because he scores against the lower teams. He doesn't score against the very best teams. But I think a home goal on his home debut for Sanchez, that would be just what Dr. Mourinho ordered.
Absolutely, Adam. And it's certainly what I would order as well, given the fact that I'm a long way back in my fantasy league as well. Adam Bridge, always a pleasure, my man. We look forward to your commentary from 7 p.m. over here in Dubai this evening. Cheers, mate.
Cheers, guys. Have a good day.
Big thanks to Bridgie for that one as well. Oh, hang on. What's happening? We can hear the cheering behind Adam Bridge there. We always turn our attention to the screens because we're running a couple of seconds behind, so we'll see what happens there. Whilst we get an update on that one, let me just bring you bang up to date with thoughts from the managers. We got Manchester United against Huddersfield. Let's hear from the visiting manager, David Wagner, who's finished composing for the day, and he is now taking his team up to the Theatre of Dreams. He believes, of course he does, that another shock on the cards could be, well, on the cards.
I think it's more important that they have belief rather than that they dream. I think we don't have to speak about who is the favorite, who isn't the favorite tomorrow. And at the end, for us, we have to be, and we will be, and we are so excited about this event which we have tomorrow, Old Trafford. Manchester United against Huddersfield Town in the Premier League. This stays for itself. And after the experience we had in the first game here at home with our great support, we are even more excited.
And the thoughts of the home manager, Jose Mourinho, going into this, our feature game at 7 o'clock.
It's not because of this Munich disaster that the game becomes important for us. You know, the game is important for us because we need points to be the first of the last.
Unbelievable goal! This is The Grill, live from Barasti, where the game is always on.
Yeah, we're down here at Barasti. We're watching on the big screen the first of the RBS Six Nations 2018 games. And I think it's fair to say, Mark Archer, 4.5 minutes in, they ain't going to die wondering, this mob, in the championship this year. We were promised open rugby. Looks like we got it.
Yeah, both teams are throwing the ball around. Scotland have had the better of the start in the first 5 minutes in Cardiff. Johnny Gray with a big break, shrug off the tackle of Wes Webb, and there Scotland were hot on attack, but they conceded a penalty for not releasing the ball in the tackle. Wales have come end to end, but it's Scotland who have really made a bright start to this match, keeping the ball in hand, making a few half breaks, and putting pressure on the Wales defence. 5 minutes gone in Cardiff, Wales 0, Scotland 0.
Let's find out what's happening in the football. We know it's one apiece in the Premier League early kickoff, but we've got eyes on Scotland as well. Chris McCarty has suggested there might be a shock on the cards. Is that still the case, Chris?
Absolutely it is, yeah. 90 minutes on the clock at Rugby Park, where it remains in the early kickoff in the Scottish Premiership. Kilmarnock 1, Celtic 0. Yusuf Malumbu, the former West Brom midfielder, on the score sheet for Kilmarnock. And just to put this into perspective, Brendan Rodgers, as Celtic manager, has lost just one domestic game. That is in the league, that is in the two cups, Tom. That would be quite a story if this does indeed come to fruition. Kilmarnock not had a great season. They've chopped and changed managers, currently in sixth place in the Scottish Premiership. And given the fact that this is their 23rd game of the season and this would just be their seventh win, that tells you all you need to know. Currently Celtic are 11 points clear at the top of the Scottish Premiership. One or two listeners might think, well, listen, it's the game. If you're ever going to lose a game, this is the game to lose, given the fact that you are so far ahead of the rest. But this does not bode well for Celtic. They've got Zenit St. Petersburg in the Europa League to come on the horizon. They want to get this title wrapped up as quickly as possible, and
Yeah, it looks as if there will be a shot. We're into injury time at Rugby Park. It's Kilmarnock 1, Celtic 0.
There's been a try down at in Cardiff. Where's it gone, Mark Archer?
Yeah, it's against the run of play. It's an intercept by the Welsh scrum half, who's run best part of 60 metres to outflank the Scottish defence. He's gone over in the try. So what that means is Wales 5, Scotland 0. Conversion to come from the corner. Lee Halfpenny will take the kick, but is really against the run of play. Intercept from a set piece from the Scottish side there, and it means that Wales have jumped into an early lead after 7 minutes in Cardiff. Wales 5, Scotland 0.
Let's go to tennis. So we've got Paul Espy with us as well. We've just seen the culmination of an extraordinary Australian Open, which really does set the tone for a fascinating year and season of tennis. We talked Wozniacki in the first half of the show. She's the champion in Australia, the champion-elect, and this man is the men's champion.
Still a little bit of a bit confused that it's all over and that I was able to do it and reach number 20, number 6 here, and it's just a lot, you know. It's a lot trying to take it in. This year it seems more surreal. I can't believe I was able to defend my title, you know, after all these years that I could do it again. It's very special, and yeah, I don't know, maybe this one's going to take longer to sink in, I'm not sure. This is how it feels right now. The journey that leads to the finals, to how did match point feel after the finals, how was the trophy ceremony, how was the speech, was it teary, was it not? All these things matter, you know, and one day when you look back on them, you know, I have little bits and pieces of each of the Grand Slams that I was able to win that make it a special one.
That's Roger Federer. We'll get on to him in just a few moments' time. Not before we've had a full time for you, Chris McCarty.
Yeah, full time in the early kickoff in the English Premier League, where it's finished Burnley 1, Manchester City 1. It's not often that Manchester City drop points. They've not done that often at all this season, but they have done so today. They huffed and puffed, did City, for much of this match. Danilo opened the scoring with a fantastic 25-yard goal early on. 21st minute of that first half, he bent one in past Nick Pope in the Burnley goal, but I can tell you, Johan Berg-Gudmundsson, with just 8 minutes remaining in regulation time, he levelled things up. It was across from the right-hand side. He got ahead of Kyle Walker just for a split second. The Manchester City right back, he just switched off. He allowed the Icelandic star to come on in at the back post, on the volley, first time. Ederson got his hand to it, not enough to keep the ball out. Manchester City then dropping 2 points. They are, though, and this is the crux, they are still 16 points clear at the top of the Premier League. That is just the third match they've drawn this season, the fourth match that they've dropped points in. They have, Tom, won 22 of their 26 games.
Cheers, McDanger. We talked to Roger Federer there. We heard just from him. He is your champion down in Australia. Paul Espy's alongside us. I know that there's been much debate on social media. There's been much debate on Dubai Eye, on Sports Tonight, about the validity of the claims of Roger Federer at the moment. I don't think we need to get into that speculation. I suppose the angle I want to take with you guys at the moment is what Roger Federer and what the other big guns in men's tennis, is that making a mockery of world rankings at the moment? Because world rankings seem to have become an afterthought for men's tennis at the moment.
Yeah, I think you've got a really good point there. I mean, at the end of the day, do you remember the number ones or do you remember the slam winners? And I think, you know, based on the way that the rankings points are set out and with the Masters, etc., etc., it seems to be that you can basically play 14 tournaments a year and you can finish as world number one. I think, you know, I think it was Sampras who said once that no one remembers who was world number one. They only remember who wins the slams. And that's why he was always very, very, very focused on winning slams, especially at Wimbledon. Putting into perspective what Federer's done, and I couldn't believe this stat. I believe that Robbie shared this with you the other day. He's won 10% of all men's single slams since it became a professional sport. I mean, since 1968, 50 years, Roger Federer has won 10% of it. It's shocking. It's just incredible to see what this guy is capable of doing. And still, you know, how many years have we been discussing him and saying he's finished? I said it to you many a time. I've written him off three or four times. But
keeps coming back.
He's just unbelievable. And you can argue that, you know, that Djokovic is injured, Murray's injured. I think we were lucky to interview Pat Cash, and something that he said, which I thought was absolutely on the button, was these guys are pretty much killing themselves just to keep up and get on the same level as Nadal and Federer. Nadal and Federer are literally, unquestionably, the two greatest players ever. And yes, you could say Djokovic had a period for maybe two years where he was exceptionally good, but he only sustained it for maybe two years. And Murray, you could say he sustained it for 3 months. but they've crippled themselves. They've got themselves into a lot of issues now. Stan Wawrinka, terrible knee injury. I don't see any of these big names out of the big five coming back.
That's what sort of feeds into what I'm saying there, McCarty, is that you know, when you hear Federer now, when you hear Nadal now, when you hear Novak now talking about even Andy Murray to a certain degree, selecting, you know, and managing their calendars at the moment. They realise they've been playing far too much tennis. They're now just going to focus on tapering their training into a certain degree, playing the slams and things like that. What message does that sort of send down to the also-rans?
Well, I think there's a couple of things here. They've earned that, Tom. The older age as well, the wear and tear of being on tour for all of those years. You only get to a position where you're able to pick and choose events when you've done an awful lot in the game. In the case of Roger Federer now, honestly, does he care about world number one? No. He's been world number one for the record amount of times, 261 weeks, I think it is, off the top of my head. What he has, though, done, Tom, he's won three of the last four Grand Slams at the age of 35/36. That's unheard of for him to be doing that. So for him now, it's about legacy-proofing himself. It's about adding more to that. So you can understand why he's doing that. In the case, and Paul's right, in the case of Djokovic and Murray and Nadal, I would include him in this. They have played tennis to an extent and a style that has been so hard on the body. They've done that to keep pace. They were seen as the antidote to what Roger Federer was and is. Someone whose poetry in motion doesn't put a lot of stress on his body, very much economical in his movement. Nadal, Murray and Djokovic, they now have to taper their schedules, Tom, because their bodies are now reacting, that they're saying enough is enough here. So I don't think it's a worry too much to youngsters, because youngsters need to put themselves out there. They need to do the hard yards. They need to travel around the world, because if they don't, Tom, they're not going to get to the level that Federer, Nadal, Djokovic, to a lesser extent, Murray have shown. And I think that's where we are. I think, yes, and you're kind of screwing up your face here, you're maybe not convinced by that. Where we're maybe looking at it now is, and this is something Andy Murray himself has said, that maybe, just maybe, the officials need to back off and look at how many tournaments they are in a year. Maybe there are too many. Maybe they are putting too much strain on the bodies of these professionals. Maybe we need to look into putting more money into a smaller amount of tournaments and letting the guys battle it that way, because you're right. Right now, there's one too many players that are putting themselves through too much and they're breaking down because of it.
Completely take your point. I think, you know, the way that it's been set up in recent years, you know, the number of points that you've got to earn and then defend as well, the computer points during the schedule, has always been the way. But that's always been a way to get yourself up the rankings, to get higher seedings, to get into tournaments. But when you've got experiences, when you're looking at the great players, take on, you know, the age thing with certainly Nadal and Federer, but when you look at sort of players like Wawrinka and Dominic Thiem and things that, you know, managing their schedules at the moment as well, because they're managing their bodies and they're managing the efficiency. Now that's only coming from sports science. That's coming from, listen, fella, you can't be expected to be traveling the amount you are at the moment and performing at those levels. Maybe you could have when you're coming off the Challenger and trying to make your name and things like that. But when the boys that are there, the also-rans, you know, your Dimitrovs and your Teams and the Canadian lad who's
Ranić
and things like that, you know, managing injuries at the moment, should be thinking, well, hang on, if they're getting success from that, why am I not doing that?
But I think the players have got to play it a lot smarter as well. I mean, at the end of the day, you've got 250 events, 500 events, and then you've obviously got the Masters, right? Why are the younger players, the Kyrgios is obviously, you know, I'm a big fan. The Zverevs of this world. Play those events, probably win them, possibly win them, and then they can actually get themselves a little bit higher up the rankings. There are two sides to it, obviously. You know, somebody like Federer, I think he went down as low as 17 in the world, wasn't he?
He was 17th seed for Australian Open last year.
17th seed for the Australian Open. That means that in the third round, he's supposed to meet a top 16 player. Okay, I can't remember if he did, but you know, he's supposed to. He's had to battle and battle to get to where he is now, and so yeah, he should manage his schedule, and I agree with it. At the end of the day, these guys play 14, 15 tournaments in a year. What frustrates me is the fact that they complain about their schedules. I mean, look at footballers, look at American football, not American footballers, look at basketball players, look at baseball players. These guys put their bodies through carnage every single week, three or four times a week. You know, Federer, Nadal, these guys, and don't forget I'm a tennis buff, you know, they play 14 tournaments in a year. So they're playing for 20 weeks in a year. Is that really a chaotic schedule?
Honest answer to that would be no, but then if you've got families, you're travelling around the world as well, there are various things you're going to take into consideration. But I'm with you. I think there will be an awful lot of people, like he's done throughout his career, he has set the tone, and a lot of guys, Murray, Djokovic, they're now looking at Federer and thinking, well what's he doing to keep himself in shape? He's 36, Tom, and he's moving as well as he's ever done. His backhand now, for so often a weakness for 4 or 5 years, Djokovic, Nadal exploiting it, now it's a weapon. Ivan Ljubicic has come in there, it's shorter. I mean, you're the technical buff here, Paul, but the backhand is now such an aggressive shot. He's serving as well as he ever has done, and you know, three in the last four. We could be talking about Roger Federer winning 22-23.
Well, I mean, obviously the backhand is a big thing, and what's very notable about the backhand is he's taking the ball probably 3 metres further forward on every backhand, especially when Nadal was playing him in the Australian last year. He literally was inside the court for about 80% of the backhands, which is unheard of, absolutely unheard of, and it has to be Ljubicic's influence. It has to be, because if you remember, Ljubicic actually had a lot of success at the end of his career, and his backhand was just a monstrous shot, fantastic shot. So I think, you know, when you look at the way that it's going and all the injuries, and you know, Zverev went and lost to a nobody really in the Australian Open, and you know, we expected, I think you and I discussed this at New Year, I expected Zverev to actually take this or team, and you know, they're still just not there. And I think team is probably going to go into Roland Garros's favourite, unless Nadal is fully fit.
Yeah,
but that's big
unless. And I do wonder, Paul, I wonder if Roger Federer is keeping one eye on Rafa Nadal in the next couple of months, because if Nadal is not going to be fit for the clay court season, I do sincerely wonder if Roger would be tempted to give Roland Garros another chance.
I think my chain of thought on this is, if Roger plays Paris, he's retiring at the end of the year. It's a swan song if he plays Paris. But I think he's playing the Olympics. I think he's going for the Olympics in 2020. What would I know?
I'm with you on that.
We've got to take a short break. When we come back, we've got some massive events to look forward to. We have got the Super Bowl, so I'm going to get the boys' thoughts on that one. We've got a weekend of Premier League, Six Nations, big league football, big rugby. And, of course, they need to explain to me the significance of the 16th. What is the significance of the 16th in the world of golf? We'll have all that and more after this.
Oh, it's a fabulous goal!
This is The Grill, live from Barasti, with more sport, the latest headlines, and top debate on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Indeed it is. Let's just give you some headlines as to what's been going on in the world of sport. I can tell you that Man City dropping points, is that right?
Dropping points for just the fourth time in 26 Premier League matches. A 1-1 draw at Burnley, never an easy place to go. And that is a cliche, but it's, it's an apt cliche, I think, to describe Turf Moor. Really good point that for Burnley. Yes, they rode their luck a little bit. Manchester City, as you would expect, dominated much of the play, but it was a fine goal in from the right-hand side with 8 minutes remaining. And it was Gudmundsson as well, the Icelandic international, with a wonderful finish. First time on the half volley, left-footed. Ederson with a little hand to it, couldn't do enough to keep it out. So that is a very good point for Burnley. Manchester City, though, do stretch their lead at the top of the Premier League, albeit for a few hours. They are now 16 points clear, Tom.
No goals in the kickoffs in the German Bundesliga. All those games are about, 6 to 8 minutes in, all kicking off at half past. But there is a result from Scotland as well. I think this registers as a shock.
Oh, yes, a seismic one at that. I did jest a little earlier that this would make front page news in Scotland. It might, in one or two newspapers, at least it will make a top corner, because what I can tell you, Kilmarnock have beaten Celtic, the runaway leaders in the Scottish Premiership. That is just the second domestic defeat suffered by Brendan Rodgers
And what are we talking? He took the job in the summer of 2016, so he's got nigh on a year and a half, over a year and a half, and he's lost just his second game. The first defeat came a few weeks ago, a month or so ago now, to Hearts. They've been beaten today at Rugby Park. Kilmarnock 1, Celtic 0. The party will go long into the night, I'm sure, down in Ayrshire. It was Yusuf Malumbu, the former West Brom midfielder, a man that Steve Clarke managed to convince to head on up to Scotland to see out his remaining years of his career. It is he that has got a famous goal. Kilmarnock, the Killy boys, they've defeated the boys in Celtic by a goal to nil.
It will be a subhead's dream tonight, as they come up with headlines for that one. Killy Killers has got a killing. Or you can have your own go at that. Do text us your thoughts on 4-0-0.
Malumbu, Celtic's Killy's heel, or there's something there.
Let's get the latest on the rugby, Mark Archer.
Yeah, 24 minutes gone in the 2018 Six Nations Championship. The first match is taking place in Cardiff, and it's the home team have got off to a flyer. Wales 14, Scotland 0. Scotland had big aspirations going to this championship, but the first 20 minutes hasn't gone their way. After 7 minutes, intercept try to Gareth Davies, the Welsh scrum half. It was converted by Lee Halfpenny. The Welsh fullback then went over for the second try for Wales, and he also converted his own try. So after 24 minutes, Wales 14, Scotland 0.
We will have more reflection on that one in just a little while. But we have got, about 20 minutes left in the show, but that doesn't mean that there isn't plenty of sport to look forward to for the rest of this evening and the rest of the weekend. None more so than a small football game over in the United States.
Patriots are bound for Super Bowl 52.
We say it every single season, you know what, this could be the end, but it's not.
And they bear witness, like so many, to the greatness of Tom Brady and this Patriots machine. Falls able to get away and throw. Pass is caught. Touchdown!
The Eagles are headed for the Super Bowl.
Yes! We demand a respect and we earned it on that scoreboard tonight.
Nick Foles, 2 years removed from contemplating retirement, starting in a Super Bowl.
I'm so proud of you, man. I always believe in you.
Eagles are underdogs again.
What you do with somebody that disrespects you? You look right in their face, let you know I'm here all day. I'm gonna hit you every single snap.
Touchdown, Patriots!
Clutch, I love Tom Brady.
The Patriots continue to write history.
It's them against the world. No one wants New England to win this game.
Touchdown.
Just because they've won so much.
Touchdown.
We're witnessing greatness and we should respect that.
Let's go get it. Let's go get it.
He fires. Caught. Touchdown.
You've been underdogs 5 weeks in a row. When they gonna learn?
The Eagles have an incredible defense and they're gonna hit Brady. And if you hit Brady, you can win.
We're built for this, man. Days gets bigger, we keep getting better.
They ain't gonna be able to stop us.
The disrespect will not be tolerated.
Couple of quick questions, Mark Archer. When is it?
Early hours of Monday morning, I think around 3:30 a.m. Ask the man who will be getting up, Chris McCarty, and if his alarm clock works, Robbie Greenfield as well.
Yeah, 3:30 a.m. That is kickoff.
And
Bein.
Bein.
It's on and Bein, yeah. That's the one that will be showing the Super Bowl. And you've got to give yourself good 4 hours.
Yeah,
and a half,
yeah, of course. Your favourite, Justin Timberlake at halftime. That'll take half an hour of costume malfunctions and all sorts of things.
Before we get into the trying to pick the pieces out of this one, let's just go. SB, who's going to win it?
Tom Brady.
Brady for you.
I think the Eagles will do it.
Eagles for you.
I'm surprised Chris has gone there. I'm actually going with the underdogs, the Eagles as well.
Why?
You see, underdogs.
Yeah, they are the underdogs. New England Patriots, big favourites going in. Belichick and Brady, you're betting against them. They are the favourites in a two-horse race. I just feel that the Patriots got out of jail last year with that win, an amazing victory coming back from 28 points to 3 down. They used up all their luck last year.
Seattle as well.
Seattle. The odds, I mean, the Patriots have been there. It's their third Super Bowl in the last 4 years. They're just due to loss. It's just for me, they're just due to lose. It's an amazing story what Brady and Belichick have done there in a sport that's very hard to dominate, particularly in NFL. But I've just got a sneaky feeling the fairy tale for the underdogs, the Eagles, defense tends to win championships. England, your New England Patriots are driven by Brady. Belichick's had 2 weeks to prepare. It's going to be a close match, but I think somehow I've just got this feeling in my water that the Eagles are going to nip a win.
Horrible. But I'm like them, though. I would counter it by saying, and Arch has already alluded to it, we're talking Bill Belichick, we're talking Tom Brady. Yes, a football team is much more than just two men, but Bill Belichick has proved the master. Situational football is what he describes it as. Doesn't necessarily have all of the best players at his disposal, but seems to find a way, with Mike Patricia there as well, with Josh McDaniels, two of his defensive coordinator and his offensive coordinator, they will both be leaving to pastures new. This, to me, is almost an end of an era a little bit. I do genuinely feel that this, and I know they've been written off a long time, and they will continue to be written off. I'm about to do it right now. I think this is the swan song for Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. I really do. With McDaniels moving on, with Patricia moving on, he's 40 years of age, is Tom Brady. What he has got, though, he's got the experience, Tom. And we talked about this on the other night on the show, the greatest sportsman of all time. Name me another sportsman in the clutch moments that rises to such a peak.
Maybe Michael Jordan.
Gretzky.
Clutch moments when your team's down, you've got to drive it.
Carried the team.
Edmonton,
one of the few
Oilers.
That carried the team.
Yeah, 20 years he did, Edmonton Oilers. But I look at Tom Brady. We talked about it. 28-3 last year. It's on his head. He brings them, marches them up the field. He did it all the way back in 2001 against the St. Louis Rams as well. John Madden in commentary, keep the ball, Tom, not having any of it. Did it as well against the Carolina Panthers, marched them up the field. Did it against Seattle as well when there were all those points behind. He's a man that is able, and there's not many. When the pressure is really ramped up, he finds this new zen-like space to operate within, and that's where Tom Brady, I think, could potentially go on and win a sixth.
Are you talking yourself out of what you said? Because you said
Philadelphia. No, I am. The reason I go with the Eagles, and I appreciate Archie saying that they are in a two-horse race, they're definitely the underdogs. You look at what they've done all season. Yes, they've got a backup quarterback, but they are the best team in the league this year. On offense and defense, the numbers back it up. And the New York Giants in 2007 and 2011, they showed the blueprint of how you beat the Patriots. That is, get a Brady. If you bring it off the line of scrimmage, if you can get to Brady quickly, you give yourself a wonderful chance. And I'm with you, Arch. I don't think that New England Patriots defense is as good as we've seen in previous
years. The one good news for Tom Brady is that his star receiver, the tight end Rob Gronkowski, has passed all the concussion tests. He is fit and will play. He's an all-star. He can make the difference. They have such a spread, diverse offense, whether they're running the ball on the ground or they're going in the air. Gronkowski is a key weapon for Brady. This is what Tom Brady had to say this week in Minnesota ahead of Super Bowl 52.
I mean, there's no underdogs in the Super Bowl. They're the first seed in the NFC, man. They're 13-3. I mean, they had an incredible season, so I don't buy into any of that. Could never imagine, you know, being in this position eight times. To be in it one time is a dream come true, and to be here eight times is unbelievable. And I think I've just appreciated as I've gotten older. Honestly, early on, I probably, you know, it just went so fast. And I think I've really relished these experiences and opportunities and tried to make the best of them. We lost a couple in 07 and 2011. We're lucky to, you know, get back and win it a couple other times, but this is the one that matters the most. Yeah, my parents mean everything to me. I mean, they've been here by my side every step of the way, every game in high school, college, pros. I mean, I call them after every game, and, you know, they're into it. I have three sisters who all love sports, who are all into it. We've always had a very sports-centric family, and, you know, we all kind of ride the waves. We're a very emotional family. And, you know, everyone kind of rides the waves of emotions. And when one of us isn't doing well, I think it affects everybody. And to have my mom here last year, to have my whole family here was very, very special. Even all my kids here for the first time at the game, and we get a chance to do it a second time.
Mama Brady is from Minneapolis, and you used to be on the farm and milk the cows. Are you about that farm life?
You know what? I grew up in California kid, but I'm telling you, I'm half Minnesotan too, so I love coming back here. I got a lot of family here. It's a great state, and it's pretty unbelievable to actually be playing here. I didn't think about it at all until, you know, a couple weeks ago. I said, Mom, do you realize if we win where the Super Bowl is? She's like, of course I do. But it just really didn't cross my mind much.
I know you've been rehabbing the hand, so I got to challenge you to the thumb war. We That's the left?
My left.
That's the left? Are you going to beat me with the left?
Not ready yet.
It's not ready yet?
Hell, is it possible to get him to smile?
To say Navy, lacrosse, Lawrence Taylor,
Bon Jovi,
those four. Okay. Who's my man crush? Man. Yeah, I'll say Jules and Danny and Gronk. These guys are pretty good-looking guys. None of them are married either. Can you imagine that? Justin Timberlake, I like Justin a lot too.
That is the star quarterback for the New England Patriots, Tom Brady, looking for a sixth ring, which will be far and beyond a record for quarterbacks in the NFL. Now, we've given our predictions. Chris is going with Philly. I'm going with Philly. Let's just listen to the team from ESPN First Take and a big Philly fan, Kevin Hart, with their predictions for this weekend's Super Bowl 52 in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Yeah, Max, who you got and why?
Well, it's funny hearing an Eagles fan talk about other people have hate in their heart, but it's good to see Kevin Hart, an Eagles fan, optimistic. And I'll say this, tough enough to beat the Patriots if the game is called fairly. If it's not, it's too much to overcome. But I'm going to give the refs the benefit of the doubt and say they will call this evenly, and the Eagles are going to upset the Patriots.
All right. Stevie.
Ah, yes. Yes.
Mr. Smith.
Yes. Yes. I think the Eagles are the better team. I desperately, desperately want to go with the city of brotherly love. I am rooting for the Eagles, but I cannot pick a backup quarterback to beat Tom Brady and the New England Patriots with Bill Belichick having 2 weeks to prepare. So you would think I'm going to pick the New England Patriots. But here's the thing.
What?
The
Wait,
front
what?
Four.
A double
for
reversal.
The Philadelphia Eagles will get to Tom Brady.
Yes.
The Philadelphia Eagles will win the Super Bowl. Yes! Yeah,
there you go. Yes! Today.
Yes!
And I'm going Eagles Patriots, fellas, because you never bet against Brady or Belichick. So we'll see who's the winner on
Monday.
Yes.
Hey, Molly, you could have bet against Brady twice in the Super Bowl. Know what I'm saying?
You guys, Kevin, I love you a lot, but come on. There's this guy named Tom Brady. This other guy named Bill Belichick. What? What?
Molly! Oh, my. Ouch! Ouch!
I'm sorry. Ouch. I'm sorry to do it to you, and I'm a Giants fan.
Kevin Hart giving his predictions there. Right, we're running out of time rapidly, but I do want to try something. This might fall flat on its face. But Chris and I hatched an idea last week. So I was listening to a podcast with former Manchester United goalkeeper. What's his name?
Peter Schmeichel?
No.
Former, Edward van der Sar?
No, the Australian.
Oh, Mark Bosnich.
Mark Bosnich was... Schwarzer.
He wasn't former Manchester United.
He wasn't at Manchester United.
No.
Middlesbrough.
Mark Bosnich.
Mark Bosnich.
Yeah, it was Bosnich. And he was on there, and he's one of those players who's spent a lot of time up in over in the UK, but obviously comes from other parts of the world, and his accent has been... it's just changed a little bit over time. So I've got my thinking cap on, and I've got a couple to just challenge you fellas, okay?
Brilliant.
So let's go the first one to Mark Archer. I'm going to play you a little clip, Arch, and you have to identify that sportsman with the weird sporting accent. So let's go to Benji, clip number one.
For me, standard every day in training, work hard. They're the moments. You have winners. You want to win every time you play in training. That's why they come to training, to improve. Even though you're in the Premier League, you can still improve. So every day for me is a step back and have a look at them, observe them. Who's still got the hunger? Who still wants to improve? Who's willing to do one for the team or have got personal agendas?
Too easy, Tom.
Because if you've got personal agendas, you're not for me.
Who is it?
Oh, it's a Scandinavian footballer. And it sounds a bit like Peter Schmeichel, but it's not Peter Schmeichel.
It's the wrong answer.
Yeah, so I'm going to pass.
SB?
Is it a certain Mank super sub?
That's exactly who it is. Well done, SB. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Well done.
Well done, you, Paul.
SB and McCarty share the points.
They're not going to half point for a Scandinavian footballer.
Absolutely nothing. No, there's been a few. Right, let's go to Chris McCarty. Let's go to clip number two. Identify this mixed up voice.
No, that wasn't really the bread and butter stuff, was it? It was a bit hectic second half. We came out again. We get ourselves in such good positions in the first half. Second half, we gave them a goal. And, I mean, really, from the first minute in the second half, they were on top of us a little bit. But great credit to the lads. We defended really well today. Even Luca saving things off the line at the end. So it was got a great win.
I love this one. Cole McCarty.
Asmir Begovic.
It's the wrong answer. Anyone else?
I was going to go for, is it Gunnarsson?
It's not, Gunnarsson, no.
Pass. I have no idea.
You're passing on that one? So this mysterious one is
Luca.
Football is
yeah,
the game.
Yeah, come on.
Instincts is obviously the position. Play for Spurs amongst other clubs.
Not Casey Kehler?
No.
Brad Friedel?
Brad Friedel.
No.
It sounds Irish. Where's that come from?
Yeah, Brad Friedel, it makes sense now.
Yeah.
That was Brad Friedel. Right, let's go to...
I get half a point for a goalkeeper.
Yeah, you get half a point for that. So McCarty's well in the lead. Espy, over to you. Who's this?
You know, it's busy. This week is definitely busy. You know, we played Tuesday night, came home late, and I've already been running around in circles Wednesday and yesterday. But it's been fun, you know. Dallas is a great city, and we got a lot to offer, so, and I'm a big part of that. So hopefully the world can see what we got.
A few blank faces here. Espy.
Well, something to do with Dallas, so I'm trying to think of an... are we talking football?
Tell you who it is, maybe.
we're talking an American sport of sorts.
Basketball.
Basketball, we are talking exactly that.
I'll go for LeBron.
So there's a little bit of a German influence there. Yeah, but I know. Spent a bit of time in...
I know who it is. I originally thought it was Tim Howard, but it is Dirk Nowitzki.
Yeah, Dirk Nowitzki.
Is the right answer. Okay. Got a couple more for you. Let's just throw them in. Let's go to clip number 4. Feel free to shout out if you know who it is.
I would say so. I think that overall we have done a very good season. We have been consistent. We have lost very few games. The team is in a very good shape. The bases are there. So I think that we can be really happy, of course. The disappointment of not reaching the Champions League is still there. It hurts because I think that, especially in the second half, we were very good. We deserve to get through, but that's football. Sometimes it's sad, and we had one of those sad nights in Allianz.
So, Spanish, a few cliches.
Allianz. No, Allianz. Oh. So obviously a Spanish footballer, isn't he?
Juan Meta?
Wrong answer.
Luis Garcia?
Wrong answer.
No, the Allianz. Oh, I don't know, tell me.
Xavi Alonso?
Oh, Xavi Alonso. Oh, you should have got that.
You looked at me as if I was miles away.
I got one final one. I think you should all get this one, but let's have it anyway.
Nobody voted for Mike Tyson to win a decision over Lennox Lewis. So that much, I guess almost everybody can agree upon, but that's part of the excitement of the fight, right? The suspense every moment as to whether Lewis's chin is going to give way to one of Tyson's shots. Well, earlier this evening, I had a chance to talk to Lennox Lewis, 7 days removed
off.
From the
you
biggest...
You can turn it off, Bench, because...
He gave the answer.
Yeah, the message didn't get across there. Played the wrong clip. That's the entire interview, rather than the clip we were looking for. Anyway, I did say at the beginning that it was going to fall flat on his face at some point, and there it did. But thank you. Well done to you. I think we might try and do a few more of these. So if anybody can come up with any suggestions, then feel free to send it in to Sportsnight at Dubai iSport or others. We want to know those sportsmen that have gone from one part of the globe to another to play some sport and come up with some fairly dubious accents along the way. We're about out of time. Not before I ask you very quickly, what's the big deal with the 16th over at the Phoenix?
It's a stadium. It's a stadium hole, so there's a
par 3, lots of fun. It's very festive. It's probably a hole which basically, if you're at the Dubai Rugby Sevens, if that crowd was watching a golf hole, say no more.
So if you're going to watch a bit of golf, watch the Phoenix this weekend. It's party time.
Yeah, massive crowds there. Good field as well. Just a quick give you an update on the leaderboard. Ricky Fowler and Bryson DeChambeau have a one-shot lead over two Americans, Daniel Berger and Chez Revy. So if you're looking for some golf this weekend on the TV, fantastic action there at the Waste Management Phoenix Open.
Wales lead Scotland in the Six Nations.
14-0 at half-time. Tries to Gareth Davies, the Welsh scrum half, with an intercept after 7 minutes. And Lee Halfpenny with a try and conversion. Both tries converted by Lee Halfpenny. Half-time, Wales 14, Scotland 0.
Cheers, Arch. Thanks so much indeed. SB, bless you. Thanks so much indeed to you.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me again.
Hector, thanks for everything. You've been real, as have you, Benji. Forgiven. Thanks to Elaine back in the studio. Chris McCarty, we thank you. Manchester United to Huddersfield.
Yeah, that's our featured match. And just worth marking your cards as well. P&B's is the place to be tomorrow evening. A Super Bowl special. We're live down there 7 till 9 tomorrow night. So if you love all
any
things,
wings available?
There will be for you, Mark Archer, yes.
Do stay tuned. You've got Manchester United against Huddersfield. And then, of course, your late game live here on Dubai 103.8. We're back next week between the hours of 4 and 7. Till then, tira.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.